higher moral discipline. So you know when you turn to your friends, you say, hey, what should we do this weekend? And they go, let's practice higher moral discipline, said almost no one ever. Right? Because it's so funny, right? Because actually moral discipline is a cause of pure happiness. That's how confused we are. Because when we hear this, we think, ooh, that sounds like no fun. Each word alone, like moral, discipline, put them together, and you're like, here's the path to happiness. And we're like, really? So there's a little confusion, you know? In reality, you know, in Sanskrit, I think the word for moral discipline is shila, which I think strictly translated means coolness, which is a little bit like our minds cooled from the heat of delusions, you know, which is a mind always at peace. But another way we could look at it is those who practice higher moral discipline are cool. Actually, if we meet someone doing this, not announcing it, but just doing it, we appreciate that person, you know? Why? Because they are abandoning, they're trying to control their mind, not harm anyone, and always trying to be kind and helpful. Sounds like a good person to me. Sounds like a lot of fun to be around. The nature of moral discipline is abandoning inappropriate actions, maintaining pure behavior, and performing every action correctly with a virtuous motivation. So without going into this in a lot of detail, which there's not time to do now, one of the main aspects of moral discipline is developing an intention or a determination to refrain from any actions that would harm others. So refraining from negative and harmful actions, like killing or harming others physically, actions such as lying, cheating, or deceiving others, hurtful speech, speech that's used to create disharmony, divisive speech, and so forth. Even mentally harmful actions like covetousness, malice, holding wrong views, and so forth. So we want to refrain, a determination to refrain from engaging in any action that would cause others suffering or problems. This is moral discipline. Okay. You know, the spiritual path is a path that is necessarily leading away from suffering. Right? Makes sense, right? We don't follow the spiritual path to suffer. We enter the spiritual path to as a method to free ourselves and finally all other living beings from suffering. Therefore, in order to follow the spiritual path, we must refrain from engaging in actions that cause suffering. This is our practice of moral discipline. It's the very foundation of a spiritual life. In fact, those who become Buddhist by taking refuge vows in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, one of the main commitments of a practicing Buddhist is not to harm others, human or non-human. And in fact, the very nature of Buddhism is non-harmfulness, or said another way, compassion. Okay? So this This is very much related to our practice of moral discipline. We are actively refraining from engaging in actions that would cause harm or suffering to others. I find that so beautiful. If this is all we did, okay, this would be a wonderful, meaningful human life. And we would be refraining from creating negative karma, and through our intention of abandoning actions, harmful actions, we'd be creating a lot of good karma, which would give us a meaningful life now, harmony with others now, happiness in this life, and great happiness in future lives when all that good karma ripens, you know. So moral discipline makes us pure because it makes our actions pure. Oh, sorry, I skipped a sentence. Moral discipline is most important for everybody in order to prevent future problems for oneself and others. So I just explained this, karma, you know, abandoning negative karma. You know, the last line in the verse is learn to cherish others. One of the best methods to practice moral discipline is simply cherish others. So what does cherish others mean? It means believing that others' happiness and freedom is important. Cherishing others is a type of love. So if we believe another person's happiness and freedom are important, we love that person. We cherish them. You know what? They believe their happiness and freedom is important. So if we also believe their happiness and freedom is important, then something amazing happens. We agree. We agree on this, you know? And actually, this is the most important thing. As humans, we have many different views. We have different religious views. We have different political views. We have many different ideas, and we often don't agree. That's not a problem unless we angrily and disrespectfully disagree. Then people's minds in the world become unpeaceful. Our world becomes more unpeaceful, more dangerous. But if we agree that every person is important, their happiness and freedom is important, then we cherish others. A person who cherishes others will always live in harmony and have good relationships with others, and their daily life will be peaceful and happy from their mind of love. If we believe another person's happiness is important, at least as important as our own, how could we ever intentionally harm them? It's interesting, isn't it? Like, what is it that allows us, what's in our mind that opens the door to hurt others intentionally? What is the doorway in our mind to intentionally harm another person? Even something simple like just withdrawing our affection to make them feel bad, right? So what is it that does that? If you think about it deeply, you'll realize at that time we must be valuing our own happiness, our own feelings, our own wishes to be more important than theirs. If we thought their happiness was at least as important as our own, because we don't want to suffer, if we believed their happiness was just as important as our own, their freedom from suffering were just as important as our own, that loving mind would hold us back from any harmful intention. And so we would naturally keep pure moral discipline.